Colossians chapter 1, and let me read from verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring up from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I want to particularly focus your attention on verse 11 this morning. Paul prays that they would be filled with all wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives, so they may live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That's a prayer, isn't it? To be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. The one who spoke and the earth came into being and all of its content. Be strengthened with all power according to his might. The one who's able to control all of the elements in every way. So if he wants to flood the earth floods. If he wants to part a sea, the sea parts. If he wants to command locusts to be part of a plague, they go. Or toads. If he wants to turn a river to blood, it turns to blood. If he wants a fish to swallow up a man, a fish swallows a man. I mean, this is some level of power. This is some level of might over everything. If he wants to stop the sun in the middle of the sky, he stops the sun in the middle of the sky. If he wants to call a dead man out of a tomb, he just speaks. Lazarus, come forth. Blind eyes open. She just had to touch his garment and she's healed, the lady with the issue of blood. Like, this is a man full of incredible power. Full of incredible power. And Paul's prayer is that the Ephesians would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. With all power according to his glorious might. He is mighty. There is none who compare to him. Paul prays in Ephesians 1:19 that their eyes would be opened to his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is evoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And Paul's prayer in Colossians 1 is that you'd be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more, exceedingly abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. I love that verse. I love that verse. I love to sit and think about it. Because everything that's happened, I now have the capacity to imagine. Everything that's happened, I now have the capacity to imagine. Right? So I understand God spoke the earth into existence. I now make that picture in my head work. I understand that God called Lazarus out of a tomb, and Lazarus comes wandering out in his grave clothes. I imagine that. So what does more than what I can imagine look like? What does that look like? And as I begin to sit and think what more than I can imagine is, I stretch my imagination to consider the ability of God. It's not that it's more than you can imagine. It's exceedingly abundantly more. It's immeasurably more. His prayer is that you would be strengthened with power according to his glorious might, the one who does immeasurably more than you're even able to imagine. And then he says, so that. Well, this ought to be good. This ought to be good, right? So that what? We can take on the whole earth, see incredible miracles, see great transformation in the lives of other people, do great and glorious things. No, so that you'd have great endurance and patience. So that you'd have great endurance and patience. So that you'd have great endurance and patience. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So you can endure and have patience. It's a bit of an anticlimax, isn't it? I mean, I really felt like Paul was going somewhere. And now we've got, so you can just endure and be patient. And but apparently, endurance and patience in the life of those who belong to Christ are necessary, and you need God's strength to be able to do it. And you need God's strength to be able to do it. Paul prays that they would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, and it is glorious. His might is utterly glorious. There is none who compares to him. No one is his equal. But it's so that you might have great endurance and patience. Because the reality is, you're not meant to live your best life now. Second Timothy 3:10 says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's the word of God. This is a happy sermon, isn't it? Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's the promise of Jesus for your life and mine. There's going to be trouble. It's actually not really easy. It's not all beautiful and glorious. We read to you from Ephesians 6 and verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Fun? That's fun, isn't it? We're struggling against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Oh, brilliant. Sign me up. And I need great endurance and patience, because actually, otherwise I'm going to be led astray. I'm going to suggest to you the reason there is such a support of a prosperity gospel is because people haven't been strengthened with power according to his glorious might, so that they would have great endurance and patience. And so actually what we believe is we're meant to have everything right now, and it's all meant to fall into place perfectly. And if it doesn't, something's wrong. Paul's writing to the Colossian church. Epaphras has gone and planted it. But he writes to them and says, don't be deceived. Don't let other people judge you. Don't get caught up with people who think they've got a secret revelation of something. Because when everything's not going good, we want to look for a quick fix. What's wrong? How do we rectify it? How do I make this right? How's this supposed to change? Maybe you're meant to endure it. Maybe you're meant to have patience to trust the one who's sovereign to do something about it and endure it while you walk through it. Stop trying to tell him what to do and fix it, but actually live with great endurance and patience while he does what he's doing. How do we change this? Maybe I need to humble myself and pray and seek his face, and then he'll heal my land and it'll all change. Maybe it won't. Maybe that was a promise to a country in a different season and a different time and a different position. And actually, maybe we need to have endurance to walk through the season we're in. At the start of the year, we watched a video together. Chris Cartwright, Elam's General Superintendent, with his theme for the year. It's out of Revelation 1:9. What was it? Patient endurance. Patient endurance. Because here's what John says in Revelation 1 and verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. I mean, that's not how I would have described it. That's not how I would have described it. Your brother and partner in the tribulation, the kingdom, and the patient endurance that are ours in Christ Jesus. Not the blessing and the glory. The tribulation, the kingdom, and with the kingdom, and the patient endurance. The other two I could live without. It's part of the reality of the gospel. Paul's writing to them to say, I pray that you'd be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. And the way John sees it is that we're brothers in tribulation, in the kingdom, and in patient endurance. Because part of the reality of this world and our experience together is that we're very often waiting. We're very often waiting. And most of the time we get very impatient. God speaks to Abraham when he's 75. Tells him to go. Doesn't know where he's going. But he leads him to a place and he says, I'm going to give your descendants this land. When he's 86, he finally has a child. But it's not with his wife, it's with her servant. It's 11 years down the road. He's waited. He's waited. And God's shown up again and confirmed his promise. They've got a covenant. There's going to be this child. And Sarah just goes, look, maybe it's this. Do this. I don't know. Because it's been 11 years. Since there was a promise that descendants would inherit a land. And 13 years after that child's born, the child that's promised is born. He's 99. It's a quarter of a century from God saying something to it happening. And in the meantime, they've tried to make it happen themselves. Joseph's got a dream. You're going to bow down before me? It's 20 years before that happens. It's 20 years. David's a teenager when he's anointed to be king. He's 30 when he sits on the throne. Waiting's part of the deal. And the danger is we get impatient sometimes. And so those who claim to have special revelation, those who think they've got some superior spirituality that's outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who think they've got something to say about how you can make it happen now and live in all the fullness of everything, but actually don't do it out of the Bible or distort it to make it fit what they actually want to say, we go running along with them because we don't have the capacity to be patient. God promised me something. And it hasn't happened, so what am I doing wrong? And maybe if I just give to this televangelist, it'll all change and I'll become a millionaire. Need to have some patient endurance. To trust the timing of God. To trust his sovereignty. And to know he is at work. But in order to have that, I need to be strengthened by him. The example of Jesus is patient endurance. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. It's not often how we see Jesus, is it? The one who endured such opposition from sinners. I mean, that's not normally our perspective on him, the miracle maker, the one who crowds gathered to see. Hebrews 12:3 says, consider him who endured such opposition. Apparently it wasn't all just miracles and celebrations. Didn't feel welcome in his hometown. Constantly had people turning up just to try and pick fights with him. And I get our desire to make everything right. Because that's what's coming. But a whole lot of our life, I've got to live with the tension of what's been promised and what is. Something's been promised, but I haven't taken hold of that yet. I'm looking forward to a day where there are no more tears. Where death is no more. Where disease and disaster no longer exist. Where justice flows like mighty rivers. But I'm not there right now. And it's apparent. It's apparent. I don't have to watch the news for more than 3 seconds. And it's apparent. And I want God to intervene, and I want God to change things, and I want God to do all sorts of things. But I need him to strengthen me with all power according to his glorious might so that I can have great endurance and patience. So that I can have great endurance and patience. Not so that I can fix everything, but so that I can keep standing. Because that's the issue of Ephesians 6, right? You put on the whole armor of God. Why? To stand. Just to stand. To be able to endure the attacks of enemies. To stand in a fallen and a broken world. The whole armor of God, not to advance, but to stand. And having done all to stand, stand. And I don't. Want to ignore the reality of Scripture. As we walk our lives out. Because we have a great and glorious God. We have an incredible Savior. But virtually all of the New Testament writing has some reference to enduring. Don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap. But actually there's a potential you'll grow weary in the waiting. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But I have to learn that in the process of being content, whether I've got plenty or little. I have no idea what's going to happen in Ukraine, what God's doing in that situation. I have no idea what's going on in Russia. or what happens when they've achieved what they wanted to in Ukraine or haven't. I've no idea how the majority of world events are going to play out. And I've no idea what tomorrow looks like for me. I can't promise you anything this morning about the future of this earth, apart from one day the King will come. But there's a whole lot of it that seems to suggest I'm going to need some patient endurance for the stuff that's ahead of us. I'm actually going to need great endurance and patience that doesn't come from within me, that's not supplied by my incredible internal strength, but is a sufficient supply of God for my life. His glorious might, the might that speaks to things and commands them to exist. That's what I need in my life. And I know weariness is not far from most of our doors. And there's lots of questions right now. So I want to pray for you. That you would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. So I'm going to ask Emma to play some music. And if you specifically like prayer, that you would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. I want to just stand here at the front and I'll pray with you. We'll turn the camera off and we'll wait on God.